I hate to ask, would somebody go get me some water, please? Glass, bottle. Don't put ice in it, just water, thank you. Before I get him a sermon, I want to mention regarding to this men's class that's been canceled. It's my responsibility to let Janine know that I'm not going to have it. And I forgot, too much holidaying. I'm looking for a substitute day in January. We have guests, and I'm not in the mood to study, to be quite honest with you. I see a lot of people here today, and I know it's special for the family, Mike and Aaron Howard from Maryland, and Carol Morley, or Anthony, and but for me, I might have missed somebody, please forgive. But for me, the special treat is having so many from my family here. Mike and Mary are here from Long Beach, and along with that, Mary's two grown children who are just recently college grads. But the special thing dear to my heart is my granddaughter, Katie. That little kid, that little girl has been really precious to me over the years. And anyway, it's good to have her up here. I don't know if it'll ever be again like this. I'll be 75 soon, and who knows. Nevertheless, it's nice to see so many people, and we're having such a good time that I've hardly wanted to take time to study. And every room is filled, so I've been kind of filling in here and there, and I guess I'm using this for excuse. If the message fails, you always have the Packers to look forward to this afternoon. Okay. Of course, there's not much to look forward to today, is there? With the Cardinals, nevertheless. Would you please open to Luke chapter 2. Luke 2, verses 8 to 18. You know, when we read the Christmas story, that I think the vast majority of people turn to the story in the book of Luke. It is detailed, it's interesting, it's long, and it's filled with information. And I was reading it the other day, going through, trying to think of something that I might say regarding Christmas and the birth of Christ. And I was fascinated as I read this portion. Now, I'm not going to read it. It'll take time. But I'm going to go through it with you. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 18. It's interesting. As I was reading through this portion of Scripture, I began to think of Christmas songs, hymns. And they started coming as I read these verses. And I was really surprised at how many Christmas carols or hymns we have that are right out of this section. Yeah. A lot of them. And it seemed like men over the years found in this portion many things from the Old Testament and many things to praise God for. So I'm going to go through this portion and share it with you and just mention a couple of hymns. Nothing in detail, but I'm sure that those of you who know music will be able to think of more of them. So, verse 8, our Lord has been born in the city of Bethlehem, and the angels appeared to the shepherds, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, watching over their flocks by night. This is really quite an amazing story when you think about it. The Old Testament has prophesied, Isaiah and others have prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. Now, in Rome, when royalty is born, the first thing you do is announce it to the Senate. Then they announce it to important people. Then they announce it to everybody. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to the world, and the first announcement is going to be a group of shepherds. And I think, of course, that's quite significant, being the Lamb of God. And almost immediately, I started thinking of Charles Wesley's song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. Charles Wesley was really an interesting man. He and John evangelized by horseback. I know John did more than Charles, but Charles in his early days was always out evangelizing. And he was always thinking of music, always thinking of something. And tradition says, or history says, that very often he'd stop at a house and run in the house, knock on the door and say, pen and ink, because something was going through his mind. And he penned this while he was on horseback, 1739. And he was an incredible songwriter. In fact, one time he was in the rain riding, and he'd been drenched, and he decided to get off and get a pen and ink and write. But he had another reason, too, because there was a girl there by the name of Susan Gwynn, and he was interested in her. I could go on and tell you that John was interested in her, too. Charles won her. And they traveled for a while together. And then when Charles started losing some of his health, he decided to settle down in Bristol and move to London, and where he wrote many, many songs. And when you read Charles' songs, there he wrote so many that there's really very few stories behind these songs. Usually there's a significant event in a person's life that made that person write one of the hymns. But in the case of Charles, he was always thinking. And he was writing them. So he wrote, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. If you read that, and I almost was tempted to do that this morning, and you go through the very verses, carefully breaking them down, the words, you'll find that it is loaded with theological thought that's incredible. And Charles' songs were some of the best theological hymns. Anyway, the announcement, the birth of our Lord, is made the angel, made the shepherds, I'm sorry. And, of course, the shepherds here at night were watching the flock. It's a lowly occupation. Sometimes it didn't bring respect from other people. And it was certainly not very important. They weren't very important people. Alfred Edersheim, in his book, Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, suggests that these lambs were temple, for the temple sacrifice, and these men were watching these. And that they would be eventually delivered to the temple to be sacrificed. Others think this is the lambing season and they're guarding these sheep, and that would make it somewhere in April. But nevertheless, the announcement to these shepherds is really important. And of course, there's a hymn, while shepherds watch their flocks by night. That was written early on too, somewhere around 1700. It's interesting. It was a poem, and Handel took this poem and added music to it. So while shepherds watch their flock at night, it's interesting, but these shepherds were going to get the privilege announcement. And when we think about it, it is significant that the Lord revealed it to them. John mentioned later on that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In Peter's epistle, he says that Jesus is the Lamb without spot or blemish. Now, of course, there's a reference to his character, that he was not a sinner. And Isaiah 53:7 says he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Passive. No struggle, no fight. Surrendering. Our little trip to New Zealand years ago to speak in assemblies and visit the Arrows, we stopped at a ranch where there were lambs, and they proved it to us. You can just take these lambs and they don't fight, any fight, anything. You lay a lamb on its back, and it won't try to get up. If it's tipped over on its back, it'll just lay there, and eventually will die. And it's interesting. So, you have this lamb being led like a lamb to the slaughter. But you have something else, and I really love this. Revelation 5, verses 6 and 7, where it talks that John sees into heaven, and he sees the future things. Future is to take place. And it says, who will open the scrolls? Who will be able to do this? And only twice in that book does it call the Lord the Lion, tribe of Judah, calls him lamb several times. And it said the lamb got up from the throne, signifying that he paid the price for our sins. The lamb got up to the throne and took the scrolls and opened them. And then the prophecy rolls all along, and God comes to judge the earth and set up the kingdom. So the shepherds are simple people. When we think of the shepherds, we think of a lot of verses that have to do with the sacrifice and the death of Christ. And even in the scriptures, shepherds are symbolized. Elders are called shepherds, right? And they're also symbolized by people who care for the church and by the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So, the announcement to the shepherd is really quite precious when you think about it. James 2:5 says, God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom. Paul mentioned something similar in 1 Corinthians. You and I, no matter what we think about ourselves, no matter what our social status, no matter what we're accomplishing in this world, really, and the whole configuration of everything, we really have very little effect, meaning. And he has revealed to us the death of his son. He's revealed to us the gospel, and it's really, really a precious privilege for us to know him. And ordinary people reading the life of missionaries that go way back, the life of saints, the impact they made in the world that they lived in because they knew Jesus Christ as the Savior. Busy labor of our hands does not prevent us from knowing God deeply and being close to him and understanding him. David was a shepherd, right? And Gideon was threshing wheat. Actually, he was hiding the grapes. And Elisha was behind a plow. And God revealed to these people the wonder of truth that he sent his son in the world to be our Savior, to die for our sins. And this portion that is so often read by families is one that teaches us this. People, we have so much to rejoice in that God has revealed to us the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, what he will do. And we carry that with us through our lives. Many of us, maybe all of us, think back to when we weren't Christians, wonder what we would be, where we would have been, what we would have chosen to do. I look at myself with attention deficit disorder that was discovered when I was a kid, other things. What am I doing standing here? Say, what was I doing bumming around Columbia being used? Wow. Praise the Lord for it. All right. Now, says he reveals himself to the shepherd, and behold, verse 9, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. So, it says, angels we have heard on high. And this song was written in 1855 and published in England in 1862, Angels We Have Heard on High. And that's interesting. Again, I don't want to go into details, but these hymns started coming to me. It distracted me from doing my sermon. I found myself playing around with other sources and neglecting what I really wanted to say. But the angels come and they say in verse 10, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. Good tidings, I bring you good news. So we call the gospel the good news. This is good news to a lost, sinful, bitter, angry, hateful world. And it's still good news. It's harder to preach. It's harder to share. It's harder to communicate. But it's the good news to people whose lives are lost and who are bent out of shape. So, angels we have heard on high. And they made this announcement. Don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. I bring you tidings of great joy. Good news of joy. And think about it, because the next song that came as I was thinking about it, of course, is Joy to the World by Isaac Watts. You know, Isaac Watts, again, I may be a little drifting here. Isaac Watts was an interesting young man. He wrote this in 1790. His father was a minister in the Church of Scotland. And in those days, they sang psalms. Now, the Church of Scotland worked hard and meticulously and carefully to put these psalms in rhythm, to put these psalms and make things rhyme. But Isaac Watts was kind of a rebel. He told his dad, he didn't like the music. I'm going to another church. No, he just simply said, I don't like the music. Well, his father said to him, write something. Show us. And he began to write songs. And if you look in the songbook, you'll see that Isaac Watts has contributed an incredible amount of music to us. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The earth received King. And read these. These men really wrote good, theological, clear hymns for us to sing. All right. So I bring you great joy. The first note there was fear. I bring you great joy. And they need to be encouraged. The angel's presence announcing this. Just think the joy we have when you come to Christ as your Savior. You're not considered a sinner that is worth sending to hell. And think of the depth of your sin, the number of your sins. Think of your weaknesses. The Savior is born. I believe we as Christians should grow. Obviously we should grow. But I think sometimes young people pick up the wrong message that somehow they can reach a place spiritually where they will always be free from any kind of struggle with sin in their lives. They can have complete victory. Victory is a lifelong growth and struggle. And we all come to know, but great joy, okay, that the Lord has come. So, good tidings of great joy to all people. Isaac Watts, for example, before the modern missionary movement, before the church was getting a vision to take the gospel to the world, he was writing songs about the whole world hearing. The whole world responding. All. He had the vision for that. And I think it affected some of the younger men who were going to be the movers and the shakers in modern missions. We move on then. So, great joy to our people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. City of David. And it's a mystery, isn't it? Timothy talks about that. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And this Savior is Christ the Lord. First, he's a Savior. But then, after he mentions the Savior, he says that he is Christ the Lord, and that proves his deity is the Messiah. He's Christ the Lord. His power and glory and authority. So it's clear here that the one who has become our Savior, even though he's born in a lowly manger, and set aside his glory voluntarily, is Christ the Lord. And this is another incredible truth. And of course, there's this Away in the Manger song, A Little Town of Bethlehem. Think of all of them that can fit in here. Before we move on, so this will be a sign to you. Verse 12, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger. And this is Away in the Manger, no crib for a bed. Maybe he's laying. There's a lot of descriptions about what this manger was or whatever. It's possible it was just a trough with wheat in it, straw, and the baby is laid in this trough. But whatever it is, why? Into the world. As someone born who's unique. Christ, of course, means the anointed one. The word Messiah comes from the Hebrew term, meaning the same thing. And the Lord means deity. The one who died for our sins is God, is equal with God, and his power. Folks, the world is getting worse. don't know what's going to happen this next year. More and more things are happening, morally, politically. And we must learn to realize that our Savior is Christ the Lord. He knows what's going on. He knows how to take care of us. He knows how to meet our needs. He knows our struggles, our fears. And we as believers must live in a way that we will not panic by the things that are going on, but rejoice and trust Him and develop our lives and not let anything distract us. Because this year, because of the presidential election, is going to be mean. They're all liars. Deceivers. Want power. There are some good men out there. I don't know who they are yet. But nevertheless, He is Christ the Lord. And He can rule our lives and take care of them. When the doctor says to you, you have cancer, and it strikes your heart with a deep fear, He's the Lord. Everything's under His control. And it scares us. And yet, He had arrived in human form and went to the cross, died for His sins, and rose again. So let's trust Him more. Let's not fret so much. Let's believe that He's building His church and that He knows what He's doing. Sonia and Jeremy in Burundi, of course, we should be concerned. And the American embassy said they should leave. They haven't left. And you might think, whoa, well, the American embassy is being cautious. But sometimes in these countries, these so-called revolutions are nothing but a power struggle between two groups of people, or in Africa many times, tribal allegiance. It's just, who's going to hold the pocketbook? And then you'll own. They let you go. Do your work. And that happened in Colombia. I have friends in Paraguay and Bolivia who lived through 6 or 7 military coups. And never once were they disturbed. Because some of these people know very clearly that Christianity makes a difference. I don't know what's going on in Burundi. But they've stayed. They're monitoring things. And the American embassy has to be careful. So who knows what's happening there. I sense it's a struggle between two groups for political power so they can control the purse strings. He who controls the purse strings can run the country. Meanwhile, we pray for them that they'll be strengthened and encouraged. All right, so verse 12. And this is a sign. I'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. These words are so often misinterpreted, it's incredible. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. People who do not believe the Word of God, people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, often quote this. Well, doesn't the Bible say? Yeah, it says. And their idea of peace on earth may actually be very, very different from what the Scriptures say. But peace on earth, goodwill toward man. And people have interpreted this, and people who are dull of spiritual hearing have missed the message. When you look in the scriptures, you see this thing of peace, and it's incredible, isn't it? So it's glory to God in the highest. A Catholic song was written back a long time ago. The Catholics were run out of England under what is called a Jacobite persecution. And they settled in France and Portugal, but they settled in English communities where they spoke English. Later on, they were able to return. One of the men got a job at a Catholic seminary in Douai, France. You've heard of the Douai version of scriptures. And there, he wrote this in Latin. It eventually, some of these people returned to England, and I got to England in the Latin version. An Anglican priest found it and went through the process of translating it. When I was a Catholic, we used to sing it in Latin, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Adeste Fidelis. And we would sing that. So, it is glory to God in the highest. It's a Latin wording, and it was translated, and it's still, as I said, sung in Latin. But again, it's a blessing. See, the Lord Jesus Christ's birth glorified the Father. His life glorified the Father. But his death on the cross is the work that completely satisfied our Heavenly Father according to the sin question. Because our Lord, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, took our sins. So glory to God in the highest for sending His Son. And His Son glorifies God. And by His life, by His death, by His resurrection, and all of the needs of humanity have been met through the Lord Jesus Christ. When I say needs, I don't mean just pocketbook and businesses to thrive. I'm talking about human needs, the lostness we feel, the emptiness, the loneliness, the sense we're abandoned, sense there's no help. That's what I felt before I was saved, after I graduated from high school. As I faced the world and what was ahead, I thought I was insignificant and totally lost. What was I going to do? Now, when I came to know Christ as my Savior, I knew very little of the Scriptures. But the man who led me to the Lord, John Fisco, immediately told me that as a child of God, he had a purpose for my life. One of the first things he said to me. And it got me started on the right foot. Suddenly, I saw meaning in my life. And I thank God for it. So, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward man, and our Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. Peace. There are a lot of things here about peace, right? Peace on earth, when you look at the world, there is no peace. But for the believer, there's also peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, what a blessing. Think about it. I go through life, and you go through life, and we are concerned about finances and retirement and finances and health care and various other things. And the politicians pass laws, and then that group of politicians come in and screw them up. See? And it seems like nobody can rest. But we're talking about peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and peace of conscience. The peace that comes to our conscience knowing that the guilt and the penalty of sin have been taken care of. And when peace is really admitted to our heart and we accept and understand it, it makes a huge difference how we live with one another, how we live in this world, peace. So, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 15, so was one when the angels had gone away from them to heaven, that the shepherd said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Verse 15. And they came with haste. I like what the Living Bible says. Nothing special. It said they ran. They ran to tell others to see this. So, excuse me. They went and told others. And you and I know that. People came. And they went with haste. I was thinking at this time of the song, Come All You Faithful. Telling these people that Christ was born and that they should come inviting him to come. Come, all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come to Bethlehem. And it says in verse 20, and I'm going past 18. Anyway, let me read 18. Verse 17, and when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning Christ. And all those who heard it marveled at these things, what you were told by the shepherds. And many came to the manger in Bethlehem. They made it widely known. The Lord has come. Let earth receive his king. And they said, we have seen him. And they announced that the people should come and see this mighty, marvelous act. Maybe you can think of more songs, more hymns. I mean, think of what Americans have written. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. How about in the South, dogs barking, jingle bells. You ever hear that one? Grandma got run over by Santa Claus. Whoa. We really like those, see, huh? Santa Claus is coming to town. Nothing significant has been written since the first published Christmas Carol in 1874. It is considered the best Christmas Carol that was ever written. And we keep singing these written hundreds of years ago by men who knew the word of God and who understood. So they made it widely known. They tell the people what they have seen. And this is interesting. The first evangelists in the New Age were shepherds. John said in 1 John, what we have seen, what we have heard, declare we unto you. Folks, let's make it not a resolution, but let's make it that in our lives and in our teachings, we can let people know who Jesus Christ is. Let's not lose any hope or despair about anything. Yes, things are changing. And there are groups of people in this country who would like to slam us down, destroy us. Christ the Lord. And he's our Savior. And he's building his church. And he will come again. Right? When the time is right, he will come. He has not revealed that to us. But he's told us about himself. We have peace. We have the Holy Spirit. Our sins are forgiven. And he's revealed that to us, ordinary people. Maybe some of you don't want to be called ordinary. But he's revealed it to us. Ordinary people. Paul said, not mighty, not many powerful, as God called. I'm thankful this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming into the world. And when I think of all of the songs, and there's more, I'm sure, that were written during this portion as I read it. It's really incredible. There may be as many as 12 or 15, but I didn't have time to finish it yesterday. So, God bless you. And may your heart be renewed and encouraged. Health problems, financial problems, emotional problems, loneliness, sadness, a sense of hopelessness. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and get into the scriptures and let him enlighten your heart. I'm optimistic. No, not necessarily that the right party is going to be voted as president. I'm not optimistic about that. I'm just optimistic. And I'm so thankful. Well, let's pray. There's music, and I'm quitting on time for a change. And there's some closing music. Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. Thank you, Father, as I read it, I began to discover just how many people over the last 5 or 6 centuries focused on this portion and wrote marvelous songs and poems dealing with the truths of this portion of Scripture. And we thank you, Father, for sending your Son. And we thank you that he brings peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Not the peace the world gives, but the peace that comes through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Thank you for his death on the cross. And thank you for saving us and committing this message to ordinary people whose lives are transformed. We have seen what we have heard. We declare unto you, Father, thank you. Bless this congregation. Relieve all the burdens. Take away the fears. Help us. And we thank you that we have no more guilt or condemnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there's music, I understand. Don't go away.